Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite sitcoms to watch in my growing up years was the show The Beverly Hillbillies. I'm sure many of you remember that show. It's a show that probably couldn't be made today because it would be seen as making fun of backwoods simple folk. I'm not even sure if you'd be allowed to call someone a hillbilly or not today, because that might be an offensive term. I don't know. Regardless, I enjoyed the show, and I really enjoyed the featured dish that Granny would always be fixing up in the kitchen each week. Things that Jethro and Jed and Ellie Mae would always love, but that Mr. Drysdale didn't want any part of. You know, things like stewed squirrel, or southern fried muskrat, or the famous grits and possum gravy. Sounds good, doesn't it? Granny cooked up stuff that most of us would probably never eat. And while she cooked up squirrel and muskrat and possum, I never heard her cook up crow. And there's probably a reason for that. Because none of us, not even the Clampets, want to eat crow. Crows eat the dead carcasses of animals, the dead and decaying flesh, like buzzards do, like vultures do. And thus they generally would not be considered a bird that we want to eat, or an edible bird, not like a chicken or a turkey or a quail. And since eating crow is generally considered to be something you would never want to do, it became an idiom for a person in humiliating fashion admitting one's error or conceding one's defeat. This is what we saw from a tearful Jimmy Swaggart. You might remember back in 1988 when he admitted on camera to his moral indiscretion. This is what we saw from Lance Armstrong back in 2013 when he was interviewed by Oprah. And after years of vehemently denying ever using any performance-enhancing drugs, he then said that he did indeed take performance-enhancing drugs, in fact, for all seven of his Tour de France victories. This is what we saw today from the prodigal son in our gospel reading from Luke chapter 15. You know, like a dog with his head kind of bowed down and his tail tucked between his legs, the prodigal son came home, came back to his father's house to eat crow, to admit his guilt, to confess his sin. He said to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And he was right on all three counts. He had sinned against God. He had sinned against his father. And he wasn't worthy to be called or treated like the father's son. Any rights of sonship he may have once had walked out the door the moment that he left his father's home with half of his father's belongings. But forgiveness isn't predicated upon the deservedness of the recipient, but on the mercy and the grace and the love of the giver. And that's why this son in no way deserved to be welcomed back into his father's home, not even as a servant. Yet the father welcomed him anyway. In fact, with open arms, he ran to him. And he restored him to full sonship once again. Simply, again, not because the son deserved it, but because he was a gracious, merciful, loving father. All that was needed for this son to be restored was for him to come to his senses and to admit his guilt. When he came back to his father to eat crow, to confess his sin, his father was quick to forgive him. In the same way, God is quick to forgive us when we come before him and confess our sin, when we admit our guilt, when we fall upon him for mercy. As John states in 1 John, which we say over and over again in our confession, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When we come before God and say to him, Lord, have mercy upon me, a poor, sinful being. When that is our expression of our repentance, he is quick to forgive us. And not because we deserve it, but because of the sacrifice and the substitutionary death and resurrection of Jesus. Because Jesus died as the guilt offering for our sin, God is anxious to forgive us. He is willing, wanting, and waiting to forgive us when we simply come to him in repentance and say like that son said, Father, I've sinned against you. I am not worthy to be your child. You know, no one wants to be wrong. And no one wants to admit when he or she is wrong. It's humiliating to eat crow. But God removes the humiliation from us. For when we confess our sins to him, he is quick to forgive us and faithful to restore us. He doesn't leave us to wallow in our humiliation so that we become the punchline or the whipping pool for those around us. But he restores us to full sonship and he washes our guilt away. And thus, since we have a heavenly Father who is so full of grace and love, who is so anxious and faithful to pour out his forgiveness upon us, who gave his son as a sacrifice for our sin, let us be quick to go before him and to confess our sins and to receive the forgiveness that he's just waiting to give us. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.